Praise the Lord. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise. Man, if you can't preach after that, you need to turn in your preaching card. Yes, Lord. Grace and mercy and peace be multiplied to all of you, my brothers and sisters in the Lord. I want to thank you so much for inviting me. I've said in publicly, I'll say public and privately, thank your pastor for inviting me to be here with you today. Thank you. He's a beloved brother in the Lord. I thank you for just allowing me to share this pulpit today with your people here in the Lord's presence. Amen. Now, let me say this. Whenever I'm a guest preacher somewhere, I have two sermons that I like to preach. One is an hour and 30 minutes, and the other is 25 minutes. Now you gotta determine which one you want to hear. Now, if you're going to, the second one, 25 minutes, is indicative by saying amen. Now, I need to know which one you want to hear this morning. Yeah, that's what I need to hear. So when you say amen to me, it gets me moving a little faster. And you can get in the lunch line early. Amen. Amen. So I will, I had a young old preacher tell me once before, a short and sweet, hard to beat. Wrap it tight, make it light, put a handle on it, easy to tote. So I'm gonna make it light, and I'm gonna wrap it tight, and I'm gonna put a handle on it, and you can tote it with you. It'd be easy to tote. If you have your Bibles with you, take the Word of God out. It may be on the screen, but we're going to look at two passages of scriptures this morning from Exodus chapter 34 and 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. I want to read both to you this today. And it came about when Moses was coming down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the temple, testimony, were in Moses' hand. And as he was coming down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because of his speaking with him. And so when Aaron and all the sons of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to approach him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers in the congregation returned to him. And Moses spoke to them. And afterwards, all the sons of Israel came near, and he commanded them to do everything that the Lord had spoken to him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take off the veil until he came out. And whenever he came out and spoke to the sons of Israel, what he had commanded, the sons of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And so Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, but we all, with unveiled faces, look as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord, or being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord. I want to talk this morning, and today's title of my text is Unveiled Faces. Unveiled Faces. Can I breathe a word of prayer over our time in the Word of God? Gracious God, our Father, we thank you afresh for the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. As we come before you, God, and we open up your word, dear Lord, we pray that you would speak to us. I pray, dear Lord, that even though our ears are open, I pray that we would hear with understanding what the Spirit wants to speak into our hearts. May the Holy Spirit take my words and meet every person in this room where they are. I pray for clarity of speech and mind. And Father, in the end, we'll give you all the glory and praise. For it's in the strong name of our Christ we do pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Six men trapped by happenstance in dark and bitter cold, each possessing a stick of wood, so the story is told. Their dying fire in need of their logs. The first one held his back on the faces around the fire. He noticed that one was black. The next one saw one not from his church and could not bring himself to give of his single stick a birch. The poor man just sat back in tattered clothes and gave his coat a hitch and says, "Why should I give my piece of wood to aid the idle rich?" The rich man just sat back and thought that all that he had in wealth in store and how to keep back what he'd earned from the lazy and shiftless poor. The black man's face spoke of revenge as the fire passed his sight, and he was gonna use his stick to spite the white. The sixth man in this forlorn group did nothing but for the gain. He gave to them only what he wanted. That's how he played the game. Six logs held tight in death's still hand was proof of human sin. They did not die from the cold without. They died from the cold within. I got a log. You got a log. All God's children got a log. The challenge this morning is, what are you gonna do with your log? I'm preaching this out of the own residue of my own pilgrimage with the Lord. I wasn't always what you see. I was an angry young guy, always getting into fights. As a matter of fact, when I woke up early in the morning, my mother, I can say this, well, I said it in the older crowd, but well, the senior crowd this morning, but my mother would whip me. And I'm telling you, she ran a tough ship. She whipped me every morning because she knew I was gonna get in trouble. That's how bad I was. this is for later. And I deserved those things. But I learned though that as I grew older, God did a work in my heart and the Holy Spirit convicted me in this part of my beginning steps in the Christian life. He says, what do I see in me when I look, what do I see in the face of somebody else that doesn't look like me? How do you handle that? He says, Gary, how do you see others? Do you see others that you can put labels on them? Black and white, banker, bomb, beggar. How do you see other people? It was at that moment that God showed me a fresh revelation of himself. See, when God reveals a revelation to you through his word, what happens is that God says to us, he has not called us to represent him, but to represent him to the world. My life was what theologian Martin Marty says, the bigotry of the brotherhood paradox. The bigotry of the brotherhood paradox, and I was a part of that group that said, the more you like us, the more you despise them. And God had to do a work in my face because I understood at that very moment, even today, that if you look at a person's face and see race, you will miss grace. And God will be limited how he's gonna speak in your heart. And so God had to teach me something, and that's what I wanna teach you this morning, this idea that God has come, if you believe in Jesus Christ, God has come to remove the veil so that his glory may be reflected in you, but also to radiate to the rest of the world. I believe that God has not left us here on this planet as believers. It's just not to represent him, but to represent him to the world with a fresh new way. And so that's what you see in Moses. Moses in chapter 34, and Paul piggybacks on this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. But Moses, he's on Mount Sinai, he's up there. God has given him those 10 commandments that was broken because of the children of Israel's sin after crossing the Red Sea. And Moses went into God, and every time he went into God, God spoke to him face to face. Now stop that for a minute. I don't know how he lived after that. Because whenever you come face to face with the Almighty, you don't just walk out. But the Bible says when he talked to God face to face and God was speaking to him, he would unveil himself, because when he go down to speak to the children of Israel, they would see Moses' face and the skin of his face was just shining and glowing, that it terrified them, that he had to put a veil on his face. And Paul picks this up in 2 Corinthians, and Paul makes this reference, and he talks about this relationship with God, the relationship with others, and the relationship with unbelievers. And that's what he's saying. He's saying in this 2 Corinthians 13:3-18, he's saying, we all with unveiled faces are beholding the glory of God. Did you catch that? Unveiling faces. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, he talks about this. He says, we're not like Moses. He says, God has come and done some. We're not like Moses who put a veil over his face. But he says, when the veil was fading, we don't have that. We have the radiance of God residing in us. Now, Kim and said, I'm gonna say something there. You missed that. See, when I walked in here today, you may didn't see it or sense it, but this is a secret, don't tell anybody. I got glory in me. Oh, y'all missed that. If you are a believer, you have glory in you. And the only way, watch this, that you're gonna really see what God is like on this side of heaven is when you look in the face of another believer. Wow. Yeah, and I wanna talk about that in a minute. But how do we reflect God's glory so that his glory would resonate or radiate to others who may not be saved? Here's the first thing I think you need. I think of what it's done. And the first thing is that it's unity. Everybody shout unity. We need unity. Unity, listen, I believe this in my heart. Unity in diversity is beautiful. Unity is beautiful because each of us are diverse in our own uniqueness. We were born with depravity, but we have dignity in God. Amen. The Bible says when he created man, he created him in the imago Dei, the image of God. And when God created us in his image, even though we're different, the Bible tells us in unity, it is good with God. It is Psalms 131:1. How good and pleasant it is for brothers and sisters to dwell together in unity. Amen. Unity, listen, biblical unity attracts God's favor. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? On the day of Pentecost, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit came down, watch this, when they were together in that upper room and on one accord. Unity brings favor from God. When a people or a person is unified with God and with those who are in the faith, God's favor is there. Amen. Let me say, listen, you can't buy favor. Favor ain't fair. Excuse me, English majors. It's not. God spreads his favor. You wonder how people have the favor of God on life. It's because they are unified not only with heaven, but with one another. You think about an Old Testament during the time of Noah. The Bible says as the children of Israel, they got, well, not the children of Israel, but this group of people band together. And it got in their mind that says, you know what? We're not doing anything, so let's just build a tower to heaven. What? Yeah, let's just build a stairway to heaven. And guess what? They were on their way. And God said, read the text, God says, let me go down and see what these people are doing. And he says, nothing will be impossible for them. Nothing that they will not be accomplished because they're of one mind and one language. Ooh, I hope you can speak my language. And that's what the Bible said. He said, unity attracts the favor of God. But biblical unity is also productivity. When we're together, we can produce more. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Unity is strength and perfect in God's provision. How many of you like the Peanut cartoon strips? One of my favorite ones is Lionel and Lucy. The capture is Lionel is laying on the floor and he's watching television, enjoying what he's watching. And Lucy comes in the room and says, change the channel. And Lionel said, I'm not changing the channel, I'm watching television. Give me a good reason why I should. And she came to him and says, I got five good reasons. Change the channel. And Linus got up and changed the channel. And Lucy sat down where he was watching television. And Linus is out in the corner in his capture. And he's got his hands open. He says, why can we not get together like that? There is productivity and there's something about unity that changes things. And God says unity is also productive, but it's also sustainable. A church, a family, a house, anything that is divided can't stand. So as we come together collectively and universally in the body of Christ, if we're gonna see our faces unveiled and reflect God's glory, there has to be unity. Then he says something else. He says, make every effort, Paul says, we all would unveil faces. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. Let me say this parenthetically. You know what? We can't create unity. We can keep it, or we can distort it, but we can't create it. We can kill it, but we can't create it. And God tells us that our job is to keep unity in the bonds of peace. And when we do, here's what happens. This goes into my next thing about the face of God being shone in our hearts. When we do, he says, then when we have perfect biblical unity with one another, here's what we can do, Ephesians 4. We can approach the throne room of grace that we may receive with confidence the mercy and love of grace, God's grace. And that brings us freedom. Biblical unity and freedom. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 16, when everyone turns to the Lord, the veil, here it is, the veil has been taken away. When a believer, when a non-believer accepts Jesus Christ, the veil is taken away. Now the Spirit, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Lord is the Spirit, there is freedom. Everybody shout freedom. Freedom. It's the freedom of God. These people who are in Corinth was full of division. Paul knew it. They were doing all kinds of things, but that was freedom. God had given them freedom. John says, how did that freedom come? It comes from John chapter 1, verse 14. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory, that word again, the glory of the only begotten God, full of grace and truth. Christ dying on the cross set us free. That's what removed the veil. Amen. Let me illustrate it this way. It happens less nowadays than it did in the past. When a couple got married, the bride used to, they don't wear the veil anymore, but they used to wear the veil. And when that back door or wherever that room is, that back door opened and she came down that aisle with that veil, it was a beautiful picture. And all of a sudden, they would get at the altar and the ministers, whoever was doing the officiant of the wedding, he would come to that part of the pronouncement and says, by the power invested in me by the state of Texas and a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I now pronounce you husband and wife. And the bride, the groom, would slowly take the veil and he would lift it up. Anybody remember that? Lift it up And what it was doing is doing this. It was a symbol of showing the beauty of God. Amen. But to the man, it was totally something different. That was a different symbol, boy. The man, now while the men, they were looking at you, and as he was lifting that veil, he had in his mind freedom. Oh yeah, his own. And here I got a scripture for that. The Bible says when Jesus Christ was on the cross, that he was dying, the veil of the temple, watch this, was rent in two. What that means, now we all have free access to the intimacy of God. Wow. You don't need a priest. You don't need to go about it for you. You have free access to the intimacy of God. And that's what that man is thinking. I have free access now. I'm free to have intimacy with my spouse. Wow. And watch this, watch this. Some Christians look at Christianity as slavery. No, it's freedom. I'm no longer bound. There is no chains holding me. Christ has set me free. And the Bible says, he that has set you free is, come on now. Y'all looking at me, that's an extra 5 minutes. I gotta start hearing some amen. Galatians said this in Galatians chapter 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then and do not let yourself be burdened again with a yoke of slavery. You're free. But don't use your freedom as a heavy burden. God wants us to, now he doesn't want us to, it's happened. He's taken the veil away. And so don't hide his glory. Can you imagine? I used to do this with my kids when they got in chores. But husband and wife, you can try this. Go ahead, you can try it. Here it is. When y'all get in an argument, one of y'all just have to say, just start calling some out of them. Call the holiness out of them. You can do that. You have the ability to call the glory of God out of your mate. Y'all looking at me, I'm gonna get to it. Y'all gonna help me in a minute. But it's a part of the freedom. As a matter of fact, let me go there. Here's the third point. My time, I'm looking at this clock, I got it. Here's the third. Unity calls the reigning of God to go into church. See, when the world knows that we are together and reflecting God's glory, man, when they come in this place, you can just sing songs. I know you gotta hear the word, but God's glory will fill the place. Because it's on you. When you have unity, unity provides freedom. Nobody has to put these burdens on you anymore. You don't have to carry the whole weight. When you look in the face of somebody that don't look like you, you don't have to carry a weight. And it's amazing. To my brothers of darker and sisters of darker hue, lift the burdens from our brothers and sisters. They're carrying a burden that they didn't bear. Amen. You got quiet on me, but I'm preaching out of my residue. And let me see, say this, Champion Farias, you are doing a great work. Keep it up. Because God is reflecting his glory on us. And the Bible says, he will transform us. Everybody say transformation. Unity, freedom, and transformation. So how do you find glory? Pastor, you said, and the glory of God was shining. What is glory? I'm not a good enough theologian, so I needed help. So I turned to John Piper. John Piper said, it's hard to define beauty different from a basketball. How do you define beauty? And he says, beauty can be found when you understand, watch this, the holiness of God. When you understand, you understand glory, glory is defined when you understand holiness. In the Bible, there's a passage, and I'll close with it. There's a Bible in Isaiah chapter 6. We know probably the story. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And he was high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And there were seraphim, mighty holy angels. And the Bible says they had six wings. With two that flew, they flew, and with two that covered the feet, and with two that covered eyes. Now watch this, here's the interesting thing. They were saying something not to God, but they were saying something to each other. You know what they were saying? Holy, holy, holy. Matter of fact, intrinsic holy, intrinsic holy, intrinsic holy. Now here's how I want you to participate. I'm gonna say it, and I'm gonna look at you, you gotta say it back to me. Holy,
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 holy.
Come on now, no. Come on, come on, come on, come on. They were shouting to each other, these angels, and they were saying, I'm not gonna let you beat me calling the holiness of God. Holy,
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 holy.
Holy. Oh, and something happens. Now watch this, as they were saying that to God, they were calling out as holy. The Bible says, and the foundations of the temple shook, and the glory of God filled the temple. Woo-hoo! Y'all don't get it. It was when they were called, that's what transformation does. They were, listen, they was calling holy, holy, holy. And once they were saying that to each other, God said, oh no, I hear them calling me. And the glory came down, and then something amazing happened. This is transformation, brothers and sisters. The Bible says, Isaiah saw an angel. Well, first of all, he says, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. You know what he's saying? Man, I'm undone. I don't need to be here. I got a problem, and here's what his problem was. He says, woe is me. I'm a man undone because I'm a man of unclean lips. You know what that says to me? Boy, he had a filthy mouth. He can cuss like a drunken soldier. No offense to the drunken soldier. But he had a filthy mouth. And the Bible says one of the seraphims went to the altar of God and took a coal and touched his lips with the coals. So transformation, undoing the veil, the glory of God coming down. And the moment he was cleansed, the veil was removed. And he said, I heard the voice of God. I heard the voice of God. When did he hear the voice of God? It was when his ears was open and his lips was clean. He heard the voice of God, and watch this. Who shall go for me and who shall I send? Can I tell you something? To all the English major teachers, don't get on me. There's never not a time that God is not speaking. Can I tell you this? Heaven is not silent right now. We can't see it, but God is having a conversation in heaven. It was only when Isaiah was transformed and his ears was open that he got to hear God. With transformation comes responsibility. And whenever you are irresponsible of God's transformating power in your life, you become the responsibility of other people. That's a principle, you gotta get that. That was for free. Now that you've been transformed, Isaiah says, now that I'm clean, now that I've witnessed the glory of God, I have a responsibility to go. And so here's the closing point. You and I have the ability to look another brother and sister in the face and call out the glory of God. I was ahead of myself. Here's how I explain that. When y'all get in an argument, to start calling out the glory of God. Holy, holy, holy. That'll end the argument right there. If you're believers, if you're saved. Oh, it's stopping there. My little boys get in trouble and they be going back and forth. Me, like, holy, holy, holy. Oh, Dad. They got to obey at that point. Yeah. You don't like something? Because you have the capacity. You have the ability. The veil has been taken away. Don't cover it up. Don't cover what God wants to be shown to the world. That's no secret agent, Christians. I thought about this. I haven't done it yet, but Pastor, I'm going to do it one day. I'm going to stand in Piccadilly's line, or I'm going to stand in Gringo's where I'm getting my food, and I'm going to shout, holy! 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 I just want to see what's going to happen. We got a lunatic down here. Listen, brothers and sisters, we have the ability. God has given us the ability to call out the glory from each other. Wow. We're here not to just represent God as Christians, but to represent him to the world. Wow. The veil, our veil is not fading like Moses. The veil has been taken away by the blood of Jesus Christ. And watch this. When the Son has set free, you're free. You're free. There's a song that we sing in our faith. Probably sing it in yours. I know we sing it a lot in our church. A change, a wonderful change has come over me. He changed my life complete. And now I sit at his feet to do what must be done. I'm gonna work and work until my change comes. A wonderful change has come over me. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your people. And God, since you have transformed our life, may we be transformational by revealing your glory to the outside world. They may be frightened at first, but God, through the convicting work of your Holy Spirit, you can bring that change into their hearts. And we give you thanks in advance of what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Thanks so much for watching. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God and growing in their relationship with him. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. Of course, we can't wait to welcome you in person at one of our locations in the near future. For campus-specific times and details, just visit our website at championforest.org. We'll see you very soon.